This morning I mentioned that I think there are three different types of Bible doctrines. I characterize them as essential doctrines, critical doctrines, and subordinate doctrines. Essential meaning that they are doctrines that determine who is within the body of Christ and who is outside it. Doctrines that pertain specifically to the doctrine of salvation, person of Christ, the nature of God, the authority of the Word of God, the nature of sinful man. Critical doctrines are doctrines that are important to how we are to live. They don't determine whether we're saved or unsaved, but whether we're walking in obedience to God or not. And then there are subordinate doctrines that, being Bible doctrines, are important, but really don't really change a whole lot as to how we live, like what day did Christ die? I think it's important to ascertain that, but it's not critical. Tonight, in our study in John's Gospel, I want to give you an example of all three of them in one shot. John chapter 13, and we want to finish it off. We ended up at verse 35 last week. We'll start at verse 36, but in order to do so, I need to back up just a couple of verses just to set the context once again. Verse 33, Jesus is saying, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you." And Jesus is, as we know, clearly telling them that he's about ready to die, to be crucified, and to go back to the Father. We know that. The disciples of our Lord still had some problems figuring that one out. And this is where we pick up. Verse 36, Simon Peter said unto him, "Lord, whither goest thou?" Where are you going? You're telling us that you're going somewhere that we can't go. Where are you going? Jesus answered him, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." I think at this point in time, the light dawns in Peter's brain, and he gets it. Because look at his response. Peter said unto him, "Lord, why can I not follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake." If you're going to a place where your life is going to be in jeopardy, I'm willing to go with you. And I think Peter said that absolutely sincerely. I don't think that he had any pretense in what he was saying. I think he genuinely meant that. Verse 38, Jesus answered him, "Wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." There is a doctrine that is an essential doctrine of Scripture, and that is the total depravity of man. Man in his natural state as a sinner is incapable of producing any work that merits salvation. That is the total depravity of man. Man, by nature, cannot provide his own salvation. He is dependent upon God to do so. That does not mean that man is as necessarily as bad as he can be. But it does mean that every man is as bad off as he can be. We're lost, incapable of rescuing ourselves. It also means that every man, in his natural abilities, apart from the ministry of the Holy Spirit, is capable of doing even the most heinous acts of sin. And I am going to say that that applies to both saved and unsaved people. Now, the saved person should not be walking in the flesh, but we do sometimes. And when we do, we are capable of doing the most heinous of sins. And I'm going to suggest to you that as we look at Peter's denials here tonight, I can't think of a worse sin than any person could ever commit, to deny the reality of the person of Jesus Christ. That alone, in an unsaved person, brings eternal damnation. So, Peter is saying here, hey, look, I'm ready to follow you. And I honestly believe that he sincerely meant it. But how did it work out? Well, the response that he gets is, Peter, I'm going to tell you the truth. You think you're ready to lay down your life for me. But I'll tell you what, the cock shall not crow tonight until you have denied me three times. And I think Peter in his own mind is saying, get out. You've got to be kidding. And I think that Peter was going to tell the Lord, I'll show you. I really mean this. You don't understand me, Lord. I'm going to show you how sincere I am, despite what you say. Well, let's see how it turned out. Turn on over to John chapter 18. I'm going to begin reading at verse 15. Now they're at Annas's palace. Annas is the father-in-law to Caiaphas, who was the high priest. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. People say that they believe that this is John the Apostle. I do not think so. John was a fisherman. How in the world would he know the high priest? Their paths probably did cross. More than likely, this was Nicodemus or Joseph of Arimathea. John never refers himself as the disciple who was known by the high priest. It's always the one whom Jesus loved or who leaned upon Jesus' breast. And I think if he was speaking of himself, he would have used one of those two terms here. So I think this was probably Joseph of Arimathea or Nicodemus. Nonetheless, verse 16, but Peter stood at the door outside or without, then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art thou now also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. Wait a minute. Oops. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Now I'm going to skip a couple of verses. And verse 25. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, art thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, did I not see thee in the garden with him? Now, isn't that interesting? The person whose ear was cut off, who did it? Peter. And he says, didn't I see you there? Well, I sure hope so. So I think he's saying this with an attitude. Then Peter denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Most people believe that this is the third of the three denials. I want to suggest to you tonight, it's not. In fact, it's this last one here probably is the sixth of Peter's denials. There were six. And let me show you why. I want to take a look at Matthew's gospel and compare it to John's gospel. And we'll put a little comparison there. Matthew's gospel, and you don't need to turn, I have it up here. Now, Peter sat outside or without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what you say. So, who's the one who's bringing an accusation against Peter here? And the answer is, it's a damsel. Okay? In Matthew's gospel, when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. So the second denial in Matthew's gospel is another maid. The third denial in Matthew's gospel. After a while came unto him they that stood by, and they said to Peter, Surely thou art also one of them, for thy speech betrayeth thee. Then he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man, and immediately the cock crew. So here we have they that stood by, but it's a group of people. Now let's compare that with what we just read here in John's gospel. We go back here, and verse 16, Peter stood at the door outside, then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, spake unto her that kept the door. Then saith the damsel unto that kept the door unto Peter, Art thou now also one of him? So we have a damsel there. There's just one little problem with that one. In Matthew's gospel, the woman was outside the door. In John's gospel, the woman was inside the door. The next one here in John's gospel, verse 18, And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves. Peter stood with them, and Simon Peter, verse 25, warmed himself as he's standing by the coals, and they said therefore unto him, Well, who's they? One of the officers. Well, that's not another maid in Matthew's gospel unless they inducted women into the Roman army, which I don't think was the case. Then the third one here, one of the servants of the high priest, a singular person, a servant, not the plural. So we find that there are different ones in the different gospels. And if you compare the denials of Peter and the accusations of the people, you'll find out that each one was quite different. In fact, as you go along, you'll find that the sixth denial, which we read, I believe, in Matthew's gospel, it's with cursing and swearing. And what you'll find is emotionally, Peter starts out, Do you know this guy? Nope, don't know him. Kind of quick. And it goes on. The answers get a little bit longer and longer. Finally, he's really getting frustrated and angry and cursing and swearing. Now, what's interesting, how you understand this, is Mark's gospel. Peter was beneath in the palace. Now, this is Mark's first denial. There came one of the maids of the high priest, and when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked upon him and said, Art and thou wast also with Jesus of Nazareth? But he denied, saying, I know not, neither understand what thou sayest. He went out into the porch, and the cock crew. That was the first one that Mark records. But Jesus said, Until you deny me three times, the cock will not crow. So this has to be the third of Peter's denials. Mark records that after the third one he records, the cock crew again, twice. I think there are six denials of a man who said, I will never do that. A man who was determined in his flesh to prove Jesus wrong. I think his desire was noble. I think it was sincere. But when Jesus said that's not going to happen, I think Peter began operating in the flesh. How could Peter commit such a heinous sin? six times. Now, that's one of the subordinate doctrines. Who cares whether it was three times, six times, 37 times, or whatever. I think it's interesting. I think it's right. But it's not going to make a whole lot of difference as to how you live. But here's the critical doctrines that come out of this. Why did Peter, who was a godly man, do such ungodly things? Four things that I want to suggest to you that speak to how we might do the same things. Number one, whenever we're uncertain about God's will for time, remember Peter's question, why can't I go with you now? Where are you going that I can't go there? And he was uncertain, at least about what was going to happen, at least initially, and then what was going to happen after that. Whenever we're uncertain about God's will for time, I think we're capable of committing the most heinous of sins. I think it's important for us to know Bible prophecy. I think it's important for us to know where the will of God is taking us so that we can interpret what's going on today in the whole scheme of things. But if you don't know where the end is, how do you know where you are in the present? And Peter was confused about what the end game was. You're going to die? Well, that's not good. Now, we've been following you for 3 years, and we think you are the one, as the Emmaus Road disciples said, who are going to bring the kingdom to Israel. And if you die, that messes up everything. And even after the resurrection, on the day of the ascension, they said to him, are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now? We don't understand the prophetic plan here. Consequently, we don't know where we are. And that uncertainty in Peter created some confusion. And consequently, he went off into error. Secondly, when we're uncertain about God's will for ourselves, we're capable of doing the most heinous of sins. Peter said, why can't I follow you? I'm willing to do this. And you're telling me I can't. Why? How many times does God answer us when we ask Him why? Well, He does answer us. His answer comes in two words. Trust me. Job, why? Why is all this happening to me? And he never gets an answer from God, except at the very end. And the essence of the answer was, trust me. I know what I'm doing. And when we're uncertain about God's will for us, we want to insert our will for us. And that usually gets us in trouble. And being depraved, naturally, in our own self, we're capable of doing the most heinous of sins. Number three, whenever we don't take seriously the prophetic word of God, we're capable of doing the most heinous of sins. Just before Jesus predicted Peter's denials, he said this, then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. When they came to the Garden of Gethsemane and took away Jesus, what happened to the other 11? Well, other 10, actually, because Judas was gone at that point in time. They all fled because that's what the scripture said. except one person. Peter. And he followed him. Peter, you should have never been there. Jesus said, here's what the prophetic word says. You're going to be scattered. You're going to be offended. Get out of here. And on the night of the resurrection day, they were, remember, gathered in their own little house and the doors were locked because of the fear of the Romans. They thought they were next. Peter, what in the world are you doing? Whenever we don't take seriously what God says about us, we're capable of doing the most heinous of sins. Finally, number four. Whenever we fail to rely upon the leading and the empowering of the Holy Spirit, we're capable of doing the most heinous of sins. Fortunately for you and I, as believers, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit who leads us, who guides us, who empowers us to accomplish the will of God. But the Scripture is quite clear, and grieve not the Holy Spirit. We are not to do those things that are contrary to the leading of the Spirit of God. And quench not the Spirit. In other words, when the Spirit tells you to do something, you need to do it. But if you don't do what He says, you're quenching the leading and empowering. You don't accomplish much. And when we're not relying upon the leading and the empowering of the Holy Spirit, and we walk in the flesh, we're capable of the most heinous of sins. Now, Peter did not have that permanent indwelling. Nonetheless, the Spirit's external empowerment was available to him, and he negated it. And consequently, look what he did. And you're sitting here tonight, and you would say, oh, Peter, how bad is that? I would never do such a thing. And I pour contempt on all my pride. We need to be very, very careful that we walk in the Spirit, because if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh like Peter did. Let's pray. Father, encourage us tonight not to make the same mistakes. May we take seriously what Your Word says about life, where You are leading, what You are seeking to accomplish in time, where You are directing us in our particular ways of glorifying You. May we understand ourselves as You have declared in Your Word, and may we always then rely upon Your Holy Spirit who indwells us to accomplish Your purposes and follow after You to the letter, without deviating to the right or to the left. And may You be glorified then in us and through us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a good week.